This is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. It is Luke's version of what happened Easter morning and later that day. Two of the disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Not too many people know this, but I went through a biker phase in my life. It's kind of on the back end of an early onset midlife crisis, right about the time I moved to Texas. In fact, I moved a motorcycle to Texas from the Midwest. I had to get a next size bigger truck to do it and stuck the thing right in the middle, and it was hard work to get it done. And about 6 months into my time in Lubbock, it occurred to me that motorcycles and Lubbock drivers were not a good combination. So I sold the motorcycle and kind of got over that. But in the course of living in that phase of my life, I learned that the reason an encounter with a car and a motorcycle generally ends so badly is inevitably the car driver says, "I never saw him. I never saw him." And psychologists tell me that that's absolutely right. Because when you're sitting at a stop sign waiting for traffic to clear and you look to the left and you look to the right, what you expect to see are big boxes of metal. You don't expect to see little two-wheel things. You can look right at them and not see them because you don't expect it. Expectation has a lot to do with the reality we live in and even come to create. The disciples on the road to Emmaus watched him die. They knew he was gone. They put him in the tomb. And on the way, they meet this guy, and they have a nice conversation. And the Bible says their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Well, they just didn't expect to see him, so they didn't until he struck the chord of memory and broke bread with them. And then they were amazed, and their expectations were exceeded beyond words. The text causes me to wonder a little and then to think about what we can reasonably expect in a post-resurrection world where Christ has died and is risen and we believe will come again. What can we expect from each other in our community, in our church, in our homes, in our relationships? What do you expect? I have some insight on that. I think that among the many things we can expect in our life together, in our life, even in the church, is laughter. I think we can expect laughter because we are entertaining. But not just because of that. Because I think emotionally laughter is the other side of the same coin where we find anger and frustration and hurt. Sometimes we literally just laugh it off. But there's healing in that. And in the expectation of it, it can actually come to be. I serve on a presbytery committee, and on that committee from time to time, we have to deal with an issue that's been coming up in the presbytery for a long time, and it's a flashpoint. And inevitably, people say things that wind up feeling hurtful to people in the same room. And on the agenda for this meeting the other day was an issue that's sort of tangential to the flashpoint. So I knew that it was on the agenda. I knew that I had things I wanted to say about it. And I also knew that there's someone else on the committee who is on the polar opposite end of the way that issue is understood. So I'm going, okay, this could get interesting. So we get through this whole meeting, and this is at the tail end of the agenda, and the chair of the committee says, "Okay, now it's time to talk about this." And I said, before anybody else, "I have some fairly strong feelings about this." And the other guy kind of leans forward, gives me a wry smile, and goes, "You have strong feelings?" It just cracked up the room, and me too, you know. And I thought, you know what, that's exactly right. Now, as it turned out, this particular nuance that we were dealing with of this flashpoint issue, he and I were in exact agreement, and that was great. But the next time we're in the same room, and the issue comes up again, and it will, he and I will not agree. But I will remember, and this will be good for me, that he diffused what may have been an opportunity for tension with a very adept recognition that this ultimately is kind of funny. And it is. We can expect laughter at the end of the day. We can also, in our relationships with one another, and in our church, and in our homes, and our communities, we can expect heartbreak. We can expect individually what will happen to us collectively in a couple of days, when the whole town will stop, and we will share our broken hearts over Giles's loss. The only reason our hearts break is because we've chosen to love. It's inevitable. Getting a cat, choosing to get married. It will end in heartbreak for one of you. And yet, we sign up to do this. And you will talk to people 30, 40, 50 years into an intimate relationship that are heartbroken at some point. And they will say, I don't know if I can get through this, but I will say this. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade this pain for not having had that experience. For you see, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. The opposite of love is no feeling. The fullness of love is all feeling, and that includes heartbreak. You can expect that. So you can expect laughter as the other side of the same coin as anger. You can expect heartbreak, the other side of the same coin as love. And most of all, in light of the resurrection, you can expect forbearance. You can expect to find the wit, the will, and the strength to get through not only flashpoint crises, but even the sort of lingering gloom that is difficult to transcend and cut through, that becomes a matter of, well, sometimes we suffer for lengthy periods of time. And yet, I believe that post-resurrection, we can expect forbearance through this. For one thing, we don't live in isolation, and there is virtually nothing that anyone can go through in our world individually that someone we know has not already been through and from whom we can learn. This community that we call the body of Christ literally includes everything that the body of Christ himself was literally put through on the cross. There is no amount or manner of difficulty, suffering, or grief that the body has not experienced, and we can learn from that and be guided through, in one sense. But here's the interesting part. You can actually achieve or acquire forbearance simply by expecting it to be so, by way of analogy. One of the most interesting sets of experiments done in educational psychology occurred in the 60s. Two ed psych specialists named Rist and Rosenthal went into public schools, and they brought with them a questionnaire of 20 or so questions. And they said to teachers and administrators, we want to give your third and fourth graders this test because their answers will help us identify who among them are on the cusp of an intellectual growth spurt, similar to what third and fourth graders go through physically. You know, they outgrow their clothes in 6 weeks. Well, Rist and Rosenthal had a test that they believed could identify 15 or 20% typically that were on the cusp of an intellectual growth spurt. And they gave them this test. And then they told the teachers and administrators who these kids were. They gave them a list of names. And then 6 months later, they came in and they post-tested the kids on intellectual growth, and they found, lo and behold, that the kids that were on that list of those about to take off did, in fact, perform better 6 months later. Well, the trick in this story is that that list of kids whose names were shown as those on the edge of an intellectual growth were chosen completely and totally at random, had nothing to do with the test. and their performance had everything to do with what was expected of them. We tend to live up or down to expectations. And I think, intriguingly enough, we can even expect to get through this. And we will. Because, and I think this is very intentional on the part of Jesus' post-resurrection appearance, he made himself known in the breaking of bread. He made the blessing of himself known in the sharing of food. And it's why communion is so integral to what we're about. I've been in churches, I've even seen it from time to time in this church, where as we're passing the loaf and cup, I know there are people sitting right there and right there that are really at odds with each other. And you know what? It's harder to stay that way when you feed one another and eat from the same loaf and drink from the same cup and find yourself energized by the same story. It dials that back. One-on-one, we can bring this about. When things are tough, when the world around you is tilting or even crumbling, there is strength to be drawn in undivided attention with and for someone who loves you very much. And the sharing of food is one way to do this. Try it and see if this doesn't help the next time you're sort of in the midst of something. Call a halt to everything in your life. Go with someone who loves you very much at your house or somewhere else, and share a meal. And look one another in the eye and give undivided attention. And don't even talk about deep things. It doesn't matter. You can. Make it a smartphone-free zone. The undivided attention from someone who loves you will heal you. In effect, God gave us that resource when he sent Jesus to be with us, put him to death for our sins, rose him from the dead, and said, "Talk to me and pray whenever you want." And he will give you undivided attention. And the metaphor for that is time with someone who loves you very much. You can expect laughter to be the other side of anger. You can expect love to be the other side of heartbreak. And you can expect that in the company of others, the relationships with which are worth it, that we will be given safe passage, and we will grow, and we will become for others what others have been for us, the body of Christ. Amen.